What's going on, gang? This is not Tim. This is Zeke. Tim's not with us this week. He's just being a little bashful, I guess, and being a little humble since he made his way to the championship game. But that's okay. We have with us, as always, Sean and Doug. So what's up, guys?
What up?
What's up? I'd like to say it took us until week 16 to finally get a good host on the show. So
Amen.
So thankful.
Well, we are so thankful.
I have a speech prepared, but
yeah, no, we'll save that to the end. You can bundle that into Brown's Corner. No, we are glad you guys joined us this week. Hopefully, you listeners out there that have joined us are at least playing in a third place game. If not, you followed some of our advice and you've made it all the way to the championship game. We are going to recap just the semis from this past week. So the top four teams and how they panned out. And of course we'll do Browns Corner. We only have one of the two Brownies to defend their Browns and to talk about how great they are and how they're on their way to the Super Bowl this year and for every year that Baker Mayfield plays. And then of course we will round it out and we will look at the championship game for our league, the League of Ordinary Gentlemen. But so let's go ahead and get started, gang, and we will take a look at the first of the two games in the semis, and that would be yours truly, Zeke, taking on Tim and the Deplorables, and big shock, a man that has Alvin Kamara and Todd Gurley and the future potential MVP in Phillip Rivers just downed my team. I had Joe Mixon and Ezekiel Elliott. And Russell Wussle, hustle and bustle, man, muscle Wilson. But none of those moves that I made along the week could lift my team, especially when you don't even have a dang tight end that can even start or catch a single dang pass and gave me a goose egg. I'm not bitter. I'm not upset. Boys, take it over. I can't even talk about it anymore.
I was rooting for you, man. I was so rooting for you. I wanted Tim and his number one overall lucky pick team to go down, to fall apart, and you know he just didn't. Chris Carson puts up a ton of points. Gurley obviously puts up a ton of points. Rivers continues average for a quarterback to get 134 points. It's crazy that he would do that. He literally played almost his ideal lineup. I hate it so much, but at this point we're here to choose whether it's my brother who's annoying or Doug who won last year. And I'm telling you, I'm just at wit's end. I don't know what to do. But you came in a little weak. You had a great lineup. Russell Wilson, Zeke Elliott, Joe Mixon, Tyreek Hill, Juju. Great. I mean, just great players all the way around. Your defense got you 17, but the problem was it matched up with Tim's defense, which threw a shutout against the Giants because the Giants are terrible.
Terrible.
Dude, it just didn't line up well for you, Zeke, and I'm really sorry about that because I was gonna ride the Zeke train all the way into the championship party, but oh well, maybe it's not Aspen, maybe it's you take him out to Bangkok next year. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Aspen, it just didn't cut it. But you know what? Just like the real process, with the Philadelphia 76ers, hashtag Hinky Truther. I do believe in the process, but it looks like, just like them, the process can only get you so far. I'd also like to point out with Tim's team, this is how stacked his team is. So he has Todd Gurley scoring 24.4 points. He has Chris Carson scoring 22.8 points. He has Alvin Kamara scoring 16.3 points. Oh, and he has a running back that he just didn't have room for scoring 24.3 points on the bench. This team is insane. And before I'm going to let Doug take the floor here for a minute, because you got to remind me what is the Chris Carson discussion? Have we ironed that out on Chris Carson now?
Hang on. Let me interrupt. I want to say one thing. That running back was on the bench simply because Kareem Hunt hit a woman and screwed me out of any scoring opportunities 2 weeks ago. He just picked up a third round running back randomly out of hope, and the guy puts up 24 points because Spencer Ware gets hurt. Unreal. Just go ahead, Doug. Sorry.
No, I mean, you know, Chris Carson just continues to just dominate. I mean,
Rashad who?
I don't even think Rashad Penny was active last week. I actually really liked Zeke's chances coming into this week to, you know, make it close. But obviously when Gurley comes out and just smashes yet again, and then he gets a big game out of Chris Carson, you were pretty much drawn dead at that point, despite getting, you know, a really good game out of Mixon and, you know, a decent game out of Zeke. Speaking of Zeke, by the way, did you see that you actually got 2 points added onto your total because his fumble got overturned?
Yes, I did. And I actually got a notification of that via Tim, who sent me a very polite text and said, hey, even with the stat correction, you still lost. Which I just couldn't help myself being hateful. I said, hey, dude, you're just much better than me at picking out names of a pre-selected glorified Excel spreadsheet. So way to go. You did a great job. So.
Yeah. You're so good at randomly having your WWE guy win the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, and not picking Le'Veon Bell, which would have been what most people do.
If Tim beats me in the championship game this year, the last 2 years, the winner of the Royal Rumble will have gone on to win the championship.
Oh, wow. Do you happen to remember your overall pick last year when you won the Rumble? Did you pick first overall?
I thought I was picking first, except for I'm stupid. And I didn't understand the process. So I ended pick up 10. Foregoing. I ended up picking first, but because I was keeping Le'Veon Bell last year, I foregoed my first pick. So my first pick wasn't actually until 20 last year.
That's impressive.
And then picked Isaiah Crowell for that keeper.
And then I took Isaiah Crowell.
Oh, man. I mean, that was a joy. Yeah, I got to figure out
how. Fantasy savant.
I've picked 7th and 6th the last 2 years, and I've been on the bottom of the game both times.
Got to get out of the middle. Got to get out of the middle.
Bad spot to be.
Dude, I've finished 9th and 8th in the Royal Rumbles this time. Last year's Royal Rumble, my guy came in, and then Zeke's guy hit me and threw me off. I was out in like 6 seconds. It was awful. It was awful.
You need to get your WWE guy when you create him next year. You need to get him on some of that Brock Lesnar juice.
I know, right? I think maybe I should start handicapping. Like, if you finish first in the league, your skill points are like 5 lower than everybody else, or something.
Ooh, I like that. That's a good idea.
The only way to go. Only way to go.
You got to handicap it some way.
Yeah, it was rough. It's rough.
I know we're getting off topic here a little bit, but let me ask you guys real quickly, since it's still a fantasy podcast, maybe people who are down on their luck, they're at the bottom of the barrel, they're already thinking about next year. If you are in a snake draft, you know, whether it's a random order or whether you get to pick, you know, some way like we do, what do you think is the best place to pick? Is it first overall, towards the top, middle, toward the end? Do y'all have any preferences on that one?
Yeah, I mean, I think going into next year, in a perfect world, you're picking in the top 3 or 4 picks, because you're going to have Gurley, you're going to have Saquads, you're going to have Christian McCaffrey and Zeke. Those are kind of your four, like, you know, you want to get one of those 4 guys.
And Kamara.
I don't even put Kamara in that category. I mean, I know he's been really good. Unless they get rid of Mark Ingram.
I think Ingram has taken away his top pick.
Yeah, yeah, I mean the last 5 weeks, Kamara has 16, 10, 7, 10, and 16 fantasy points.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize it had gotten that low. Yeah, it's like it's said that earlier in the year, that Kamara was going to struggle with Ingram, and I was told I was wrong. Anyway, go ahead.
He didn't the first couple weeks that Ingram was back. He was like in the 20s the first few weeks, and then ever since then they've just – Their offense in general has struggled the last few weeks. But
tell me about it. I've had Breeze and Thomas to get me all the way down into losing games.
Yeah, you know all about that. So I think next year you want to be drafting in that top 3 or 4 picks.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think if you're not in the top 3 to 4, you're really going to be hurting, because after that it becomes kind of a crapshoot, because you're going to have guys like OBJ, who, unless OBJ gets traded to Cleveland, which is what I want to happen, who's going to be throwing the ball to him. And those are the kind of guys like Mike Evans, like great receivers, these guys who are game changers, but you don't know who's going to be throwing to him. Hell, even next season, you know, Mason Rudolph might be the guy throwing to Antonio Bryant. There's so many things you don't know after this first three or four big running backs to get in. I think if you're not taking top four, then you're in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't, you got to hope that you land on, like, you got to hope that, you know, you take like Nick Chubb at 12 and he ends up being like a top five running back next year. Well, you know, something
that's
like that.
Right. That's right.
I was about to ask that question actually, and because I'm a Browns homer, obviously, but is Nick Chubb a top 10 pick next year?
No, not next year. I mean, because he's still not going to go ahead of Gurley, Barkley, McCaffrey, Zeke, Melvin Gordon, and wherever Le'Veon Bell plays. That's six. And then you have like Julio and Davante Adams that probably still go ahead of him.
I mean, he's definitely, you know, the second round, start of the third round, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I think he's definitely a top 20 pick and maybe even top 15 pick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think what people are missing about I think what people are missing about him is he hasn't started a whole lot of games. He missed the first six games, I think it was. Yeah, he didn't actually start until week seven. And he has 860 yards and eight touchdowns. So
here's
what he's going to do with six other weeks, with eight other weeks in the season.
Oh, he's been awesome. But, like, are you taking him or Nuke Hopkins next year?
Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of what I was asking.
Like, that's
– yeah.
Here's kind of where I see him for next year. I see him, and I'm not talking about necessarily skill-wise. I'm just talking about position in the draft and things like that. Kind of where Joe Mixon was this year. You didn't see a ton of Joe Mixon last year, but you know he is the main back. You know he's going to be the workhorse. He's going to be getting the lion's share of the ball, at least at the start of the season. I'm speaking of Nick Chubb next year, what you forecasted Joe Mixon to do this year. So I do think that gets you, like you said, in that 20-ish, 25-ish at the worst pick for Nick Chubb next year's draft.
I think that's a really fair assessment from both of you. Yeah, cool. Well, should we move on to the second game before we get into the NFL, just general NFL stuff here?
Oh, yeah, let's do that. So, again, just totally trounced by Tim. And let's go on to the next one.
I am for real.
That's right. We are looking at I'm Sorry, Miss Jackson, with the podcast on Doug Appleby. Taking on Mr. Bond, Biscuits in Your Pants. And this one wasn't really close. Even with a kicker putting up a goose egg for Doug, even with that zero on the board, he still wins handily again, that 117-81. Biscuit in Your Pants, he started off the league and the year a little rough, but he worked his way on up, did a great job. He had Tom Brady, who kind of a rough game in Pittsburgh. And I think we're starting to see the end of the dynasty. I know people have said it for years, but I think this is, if you got a 41-year-old quarterback, as much as I love TFB, I think this is the end of the dynasty for Tom Brady and for the Patriots. But he had Saquon, Jalen Samuels. He had, Travis Kelce, Jared Cook in his flex. I think that really hurt, but he didn't have anybody else really to put there. And then you got, of course, Dougie Fresh with Patrick Mahomes, David Johnson, Justin Jackson. And you know what? I'm just going to put the brakes on here. Doug, this is your game. This is your victory. Tell us how you rode your way into the championship yet again.
Yeah, I mean, I actually thought this was going to be really, really close going into the matchup last week. One thing I didn't – I thought Brady would underperform. Like, I didn't see him coming out and putting up 25, 28 points. I did think Mahomes would put up more than 18. But Bond kind of ran bad a little bit too, because Saquon just, you know, OBJ got ruled out again, and he just couldn't get anything going with – you know, Eli Manning, that statue back there at quarterback. And then Keenan Allen gets hurt on what was potentially a touchdown catch, couldn't quite hang on to it, hurts his hip, out the rest of the game. So he put up a, you know, good performance for the most part, but just a few guys here and there just couldn't get it done. And I was fortunate enough to get a good game out of Gus Edwards, which I wasn't really expecting. I was hoping for like 6, 7, 8 points out of him, and he gets me 18, right, which was huge.
I mean, you think so. with Lamar Jackson being as run heavy as he is, that's going to take away carries from Gus Edwards and or have defenses stuffing the box, preparing for the run, and either way, he's not going to get lift off. But Gus Edwards surprisingly productive.
As soon as they went to Lamar Jackson, because Gus Edwards played in a like more shotgun traditional offense in college, so mm-hmm. he's used to taking those handoffs out of the shotgun. Like, you know, he's used to the mesh with the zone read, gotcha, and stuff like that. Gotcha. So I was kind of nervous about Kenneth Dixon last week taking some carries from him, mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, that was huge. I mean, they're running the ball. I was reading something the other day. The Ravens are running the ball 61% of the time, yes, since Lamar Jackson took over, which is just an absurd number.
Insanely high.
So hopefully Gus can keep it going for one more week.
One thing I'll note. Sorry, Sean. One thing I'll note on your team, Doug, which is pretty impressive, and then, Sean, I want to hear your take on the matchup, of course. The consistency of your scores. Go for it.
Go ahead. Go ahead. I got something else too. Go ahead.
Okay. 18, 16, 14, 15, 11, 8, 5, 18. That is just that. I don't know how you get more consistent than that if with your fantasy players. So it's hard to beat that, even if you've got the fluctuation on the other side with big name hitters. Slow and steady wins the race.
Yeah. So, two things I want to say about this. I think, shout out to Joe Bond. He took Saquon higher than I think other people were ready for, and that was the difference in the season, mm-hmm. which I was ready to take him the next round, maybe two rounds later, but I wasn't a big believer. So shout out, Joe. You took a ballsy move there, and it paid off in a big way. So good job this season. If you had Saquon Barkley this season, you just probably excelled in ways you probably – weren't really expecting, quite honestly. But one thing you had really going for you here, which I think has been understated this year because there's been so much offense, is this matchup with Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, like what we've lost in fantasy football is we're playing people based on their overall like DVOAs and their overall defenses instead of looking at the actual weaknesses of the defenses and playing those matchups instead. Mm-hmm. Tampa Bay has horrific run defense. Cincinnati, horrific run defense. These are teams that can't stop anybody. Atlanta, terrible pass defense, terrible outside the box defense. So a guy like David Johnson is going to do well against them, even in a you know, horrible losing effort, because they don't have the speed to get around. And something you had that was really good for you this week is you had a lot of great defensive matchups. You had Tampa Bay for two of your teams. Or for two of your guys who are playing, you had the Chargers who, if they're going to give up anything, it's going to be short slant passes over the middle, something low end. They don't give up anything really long, but David Johnson on the little swings and the screens, that's going to be a big time game for Atlanta. Kansas City's defense is terrible. You just don't hear about it as much because Eric Berry and because the offense was so good. You just had great matchups all the way down the field. Even Fitzgerald, who I think probably should have had more, but Rosen is just not impressed. So I think that was really, really big as well. You just had great matchups, and I haven't looked at yours for next week, but I hope they're equally wonderful because I wouldn't mind a two-time winner as long as it meant Tim didn't win. So
that's exactly right. Now let me ask you this. David Johnson is – I haven't paid attention. I don't have him in any of my fantasy leagues, and after – last year, he's on the D&D list, the do not draft list. Yeah. Is this his best game of the season, or has he been up and down all season, Doug? I know he's been on your team.
He has one game over 20 points the entire season. Okay, so he is. To be honest, the fact that I took him where I took him in the draft because I chose to take the fourth pick because I had Bell, Zeke, David Johnson and Gurley kind of all together. I didn't really care which of those I got. So I had the fourth pick, took David Johnson there. and he's been terrible all season. I mean, obviously not as bad as Le'Veon Bell, but he's just not met expectations. And then I lost Will Fuller, I lost Cooper Kupp, so I'm pleased with, you know, my team being able to hang in there and, you know, pick up a few guys here and there that have worked out, like Gus Edwards.
Yeah.
So Cooper, that was Kupp, his fourth best game overall. He had three games that were like 17, 19, and 18, and then one that was 30.
Yeah. But
points wise, that was technically his fourth best game.
Wow. That's so was he a flash in the pan the year that he did great? Is, I know we've talked about David Johnson a little bit. Coaching staff not using him right, or is this just what he is?
Coaching, I think it's just, yeah, coaching in general, offensive environment.
Gotcha. Yep.
Yeah. Coaching, like offensive line and play calling.
No good. Yeah, no good offensive line. Quarterback isn't ready yet. They have no weapons on the outside. I mean, Larry Fitzgerald is, like, you know, a solid player or whatever, but he plays in the slot. He's not going to stretch the field at all.
Sure.
So, well,
Arizona tried to make him a between the tackles guy to run through and give Rosen some time, and he's not that guy. He is the outside the tackle screen, open up the defense, spread everybody out player. And when they tried to do that, he just was never going to be that guy. And they don't have the offensive line to sustain that. So I think unless David Johnson gets a brand new type of play calling next year, I don't know that he's a first, or even, I mean, maybe because he'll be a bell cow second round pick. But if they don't have some major changes in their offensive scheme and adding some talent on the line, I don't know that he's very draftable next year.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like they're going to get rid of Steve Wilks. Just after one season. So I mean, the real difference was in 2016 when he had that great year. He had 80 catches for like 900 yards. This year, he has 46 catches for 400 yards.
It was a Saquon Barkley kind of year. I mean, that's what it was. Him and Le'Veon Bell kind of discovered that niche in the NFL that you could be a successful running back in the screen game and in the running game, and not be, you know, a gadget guy or a third down guy versus a first down guy.
Sure. Yeah, and it's funny, Doug. I took your same mentality, talking about who you're going to draft and where, and to go back to our early conversation about where you want to draft. I picked third in the draft, and I had the same kind of four running backs, and I was just waiting for. I was like, I'm going to let at least two decisions be made for me before I get to it, because I was a little hesitant on Gurley, not because of skill. I was worried about injury. And then I was, you know, Zeke fell to me. So I just said, well, for a variety of reasons, I'll take him. And I'm glad I didn't take Le'Veon, of course. Pour one out for all those Le'Veon owners out there. I got him in another
league. Except for the one in our league.
Yeah.
I'm not pouring out for him.
Yeah. Sucks to suck. But for everybody else out there, you know, this just wasn't your season. And, in next Monday or next Tuesday, we're all undefeated in fantasy once again. So let's move on. We've talked about that. Anything else you guys want to add for these matchups or even just fantasy in general? Any players or any NFL notes you saw out there? We mentioned Cooper Kupp, and I just wanted to throw out at least the Rams MVP, if not the league MVP, Cooper Kupp, because he goes down and the whole team seems to be falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've actually got a question about that. So here's what we've seen the last few weeks. We've seen New Orleans offense slow down. We've seen Kansas City's offense slow down. Mm-hmm. We've seen the Rams offense slow down. We've even seen the Patriots offense slow down, RIP Josh Gordon. And now we've seen Pittsburgh's offense slow down, which, you know, I love. Is this a change in the guard, or is it a defensive that figured it out, or are we finally going to see that what I've been waiting for probably 15 years, Roethlisberger, these guys are going away, that high-powered offense is now going to move back to more traditional style, like the run game, clock, strategy matters?
Doug, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think we tend to see this every year, like you know, teams will start off hot the first like 10 or 12 weeks. You know, other teams get a little more film. You know, they get late in the season. They don't want to like push their guys too hard, and everything kind of like paces back a little bit. And then you get in the playoffs and you're going to see these like, you know, 37-34 matchups.
Yeah.
Come playoff time.
Yeah. I mean, I've been amazed to see New Orleans slow down, KC slow, and I think Kareem Hunt doing what he did, getting dropped from KC, was a bigger hardship on their offense than anybody really wants to admit right now, because they still have a lot of weapons. But I mean, you take away a top three, top four running back, it's gonna be problematic for anybody.
Yeah, I mean, in the Chiefs' defense, though, the last like five games, they've scored 28, 27, 40, 51, 26, 37. So I mean, they've still been putting up some points, just not the 40 that they were putting up consistently every game to start the year.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, they're still a great team. I just didn't, you know, I wonder what's happening that we're seeing some of those offenses starting to slow down.
Yeah.
Well, I think you mentioned a lot of things, and I do think it's not just one thing. I do think it's a variety of things. I do think, you know, we're getting towards the playoffs, like you said, so teams are kind of saving themselves. You know, you might be jockeying for a certain seed in the playoffs, but, you know, the teams that are there. The weather is becoming an impact. So not necessarily New Orleans at home, but New Orleans away. The Rams playing up in Chicago. Games like that are starting to matter. You know, in KC, you can't go as high-flying in 40-degree weather as you can 75 and 80-degree weather. And then teams are getting tape on these players. So not that Patrick Mahomes is necessarily struggling, but somebody like Patrick Mahomes that you didn't really have tape on prior to this season, defensive coordinators are just now starting to find you know, ways to play, to scheme against a player or offenses like that. And, you know, it's one of the things, and I'll let that kind of roll right into Brown's corner. It's one of the things that I wonder about. Granted, the head coach may be different, things like that, but I wonder about Baker Mayfield. And Sean, don't get defensive on me. I'm not saying he's going to be bad. I think he's a very good quarterback. He's proven a lot of people wrong. But I do wonder, like a lot of players, Robert Griffin, who had a huge rookie season, and other players that have big rookie seasons, you have the sophomore slump. Some of that having tape on a player and a whole offseason to prepare can slow them down. And I wonder if that's kind of happening with these offenses during the season. So going right on into Brown's corner, a man's got the dog bone necklace. He's got the hat on. He's, of course, got all the Browns gear going. Sean, talk to us about your boys.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get some presence of the United States of America. Doug, don't go too far. I got words for you, Doug. I got words for you. Cleveland rocks. Cleveland rocks. So I'm a little disappointed. I'll wait for what I was going to mainly say for when Doug gets back.
No problem.
But here's the deal with it. I don't think Baker Mayfield is a flash in the pan. And let me tell you why.
I don't either. I didn't want you to hear that. That's why I gave you some prefaces. I didn't want you to hear that. But he's going to have a slump at some point. It's just they all do early on. And that's what I wonder if having tape on him is it. So I interrupted you, but I just wanted to make sure I clarified. I did not say he was a flash in the pan. He's going to be good for a while.
So no doubt about it. Here's where Baker Mayfield's hardship came. The first half of the game against Houston, he came out and in the second half threw for 350 yards and a touchdown. Should have had two, but Callaway fumbled one. Really, back-to-back plays, he threw long touchdowns. But listen, I get it. I know I'm a homer. I've convinced myself to believe in past Browns quarterbacks because I had nothing else. And when you are against all humanity and you need something to hold on to, you'll convince yourself of anything. And so that's what I did for so long. But Baker Mayfield is legit. And let me tell you why this Browns team is going to be different for the next decade, because we don't have to spend a first-round pick looking for a quarterback.
Hey!
And we've had to do that for the last, 15 years? And now we got one. Here's what I love about Baker Mayfield. He was a walk-on. He had to earn his spot in high school. He had to beat a guy out. He was a walk-on in two different colleges. He won the Heisman. He's the first college walk-on to ever be drafted number one overall. And My favorite thing of the week outside of Bob Wiley. Have you guys seen the Bob Wiley and the offensive lineman Christmas deal yet?
No.
Do yourself a favor, Doug. I know you love Bob Wiley. Go ahead and look up Bob Wiley Christmas. He does a Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer thing. It's incredible. Also, shout out to Bob Wiley. RIP. He fractured his ankle today at practice. Hope you feel better, Bob. Said Hutt.
Yes.
But what I love about it is that Baker was selected as a third or fourth alternate for the Pro Bowl today or this week. And today he was in a press conference and he said, fourth alternate is not a real Pro Bowl pick. And that's not good enough for me. So I don't even want to talk about it. And I was like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, have that chip. Even when you've achieved something, have that chip. But my favorite thing, let me speak clearly. Doug, can you hear me on this one? All right. My favorite thing of the week wasn't just that the Browns went into Denver and won. It wasn't even that the Browns won on primetime Saturday night in front of everybody. It wasn't that Baker Mayfield pushed through some real adversity and didn't have a great game, but it's great to see the Browns win when your offense isn't clicking. It's not even that Julius Peppers had a strong game with a big sack at the end, an interception, and a fourth down stop. It is that before the season, I made a bet. I made a bet with Doug Appleby, and I said, not only will the Browns achieve more than their over of, was it 5.5 at the time, Doug? Or was it 4.5?
I think their total was actually 4.5.
Four and a half.
I think we settled on 5.5.
Yep.
And I said, Doug, the Browns are going to win 7 games. And Doug said, there's no way. And if you win, I'll take you to lunch. And I would like to report, as a man of integrity he is, which I very firmly believe that about Doug Appleby, after the holidays, Doug Appleby will be taking me out to Bacon Brothers for a delicious lunch because the Browns have won 6 games. They're going to win 7 on Sunday, and they're going to win 8 in a week and a half to take Baltimore out of the playoffs. Because Lamar Jackson ain't it, boys. And I'm beside myself. It's the best ever. So,
absolutely. Give it to me, baby. Listen, I will gladly pay up on the bet. And Bacon Brothers, it is.
You're a gentleman and a scholar, Doug Appleby. You are indeed. I appreciate that about you. So, listen, Chubb looks good. Baker looks good. Denzel Ward is the truth. And here's what people are missing. Terrence Mitchell came back. One of the big things that we had happen was in week 4, our defense went from top 10 to middle tier at best because we lost Terrence Mitchell, and that opened up half the field. Terrence Mitchell came back, started shutting guys down again. Houston, or Carolina and Denver have had a tough go with him on the field. And now we get Denzel Ward back from a concussion. And so we've got 2 shutdown corners against Cincinnati, who has nobody and just lost Tyler Boyd for the year. The Browns are 11-point favorites. 11. So you guys are the 2 betting guys here, all right? You're the ones who make money off this stuff. I would lose every dime I had. Do you take the Browns at minus 11 on Sunday against Cincinnati at home with Bake in the bakery with Baker Mayfield, with a healthy defense, with a Peppers that's resurgent, and a Nick Chubb that's doing work, and an offensive line that PFF just ranked number 2 overall for the season? What do you do?
Doug, I'll let you take that first.
Well, I would have done what the sharp bettors did, which is this line opened at Browns -7, and it's been bet up to what I'm looking at. It's been bet up to anywhere from 8.5 to 9.5.
So, it must have dropped down since the betting was taking place.
Yeah, so you can probably get it at, you know, -9, somewhere in there right now. But
is it a good bet?
No, it's probably a little too high.
So yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
It's at 7. It's a good number. It, you know, I mean, they very, very well could cover that, but I don't know. 10 is a lot of points.
That's what I was gonna say. 7. 7 is a fine number, especially for a bad team. All right, you know, but when you start getting into the 8 and the 9, and especially when you get into the double digits for an NFL game, that then you got to start applying the smell test. Why are you getting there? What's the problem? And like Doug said, the only reason why the money, why the line got that high is because people saw the good deal on that minus seven. And so that just starts sending that line up. And, you know, eight or nine, especially 10 or 11, I don't take it just because it's too easy to cover at that point. Not that I think the Browns are going to lose necessarily, but it's just too easy to cover at that point and get a, you know, get a bad beat. And so, you know, I don't bet on that game at minus nine or higher. I'm definitely not taking that.
Yeah, I don't usually bet on anything that's over minus 6.5 just because it's so easy for a team to backdoor cover. Like, you know, you're
garbage
down.
Garbage time points.
Yeah, 31-17. You've got it in the bag. And, you know, I mean, with a minute to go, Jeff Driscoll's still, like, out there slinging it while everybody is in prevent. And he picks up a garbage touchdown. And all of a sudden, you just lost your bet. Yep. So
I want to ask a trivia question here for you. When was the last time that the Cleveland Browns were favored by more than a touchdown?
It was probably back in that
Johnny Manziel versus the 49ers in 2014, 15.
I'm taking it back to the Derek Anderson days.
Ding, ding, ding. The winner is Zeke with a shout out to Doug. It was against the 49ers. It was week 17 of the 2007 season. The Browns were 11-point favorites against 49ers and they covered. They won 20-7. So, you can tell I'm in a little bit of a good mood because, boys, it is great to root for. Hell, even an average team is great for me. But I think that the hueless Browns are going to be something to fight with next year. I'm thinking AFC North champions.
I'm going to save some of my own thoughts. I don't want us to get too long-winded here. I'm going to save some of my thoughts for next week's Browns Corner. But I have some thoughts for the Brownies going into the offseason. Myself, Doug, you got anything else to add for Browns Corner?
No, let's move on to the matchup in the finals.
Very cool. All right, here's what I'm going to
quick shout out. We are going to have a Browns wrap at the end of the season with Paul Brown, which I know is a famous name, but he's also a guy from the UK who has become kind of a famous Browns fan. He flies over from the UK a few times a year, and him and his buddy Jack Durbin are going to be on our show after Christmas to do just a whole show about the Browns and fandom and all that kind of good stuff. So be on the lookout for that.
Very cool. Very cool. Okay. What we're going to do on this matchup, this championship matchup between Doug and Tim, we've already gone over the teams. You know who the guys are in the teams. But what I want to do, Sean, I'm putting you on the spot. Doug, I want you to go through your team and go through, you know, some of the key matchups and tell me why you're going to win this game. Sean, I want you to go through Tim, since you're related to him by blood. Look through his team and tell me why Tim is going to win that game. And then we'll go from there. So, Doug, let's start with you.
So, I win this matchup if Mahomes exceeds his scoring projection, which is 25 points. If he just goes into Seattle on Sunday night and just puts up a bonkers game. If David Johnson stays within 5 or 6 points of Todd Gurley, and if I get a touchdown out of Davante Adams, that's how I win. And I would also like to point out that I strategically added the Browns defense against Cincinnati. So that way, if the Browns defense is just going off, it is making Tim joyful and just needling him right at the same time.
Man, Doug, that's a good call on the defense. Did you know that the Browns defense is actually the most highly added defense in all ESPN leagues this week?
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah, so that was a good move because, like I said, Denzel Ward and Terrence Mitchell on the field covering two nobody wide receivers, plus our safeties who are playing strong with Demarius Randall and Peppers, who just had his coming out game. That's going to be a really ball. I don't think Cincinnati scores more than 12 points game, honestly. Well, Zeke gave me a tough battle here. I think the only thing that's going to help Tim win is he's going to have monster games out of Todd Gurley, out of Adam Thielen, Jarvis Landry, and Chris Carson. I think that's going to be – I mean, his matchups just aren't great. His bench has got Cam, who's not going to play. Phillip Rivers is playing against Baltimore, which I hate Baltimore, but they've got a great defense. That's a tough game. Kamara against Pitt's run defense. That's going to be a tough game. Evans against Dallas is a tough game. Cameron Braid against Dallas is a tough game. The Titans defense against Washington is a pretty good matchup. I think Zerline will do pretty good, but, you know, can you really count on a kicker to do too much? So the only way Tim wins is, A, if Todd Gurley plays, which I know is like 50-50 right now. He wants to, but any practice, but I don't know if they're going to let him play a full game, especially against Arizona, because are you going to let your running back get hurt in a game where you could put in your third stringers and win? Probably not. So Tim's hope is going to lie firmly in the hands of Jarvis Landry, who I think will have a touchdown and probably 120 yards, and Chris Carson, who Casey's going to score a lot. They're going to score fast, and Seattle's going to need to keep up. But I'm going to go against your little put me on the spot. I think Doug's got this for the second year in a row. I like his matchups. I like his team. And, boy, wouldn't it be sweet if the Browns defense is the reason he wins. Let's go Doug's defense, Doug's team. But Spencer Ware, Doug, I got a question. What are you going to do about that?
Yeah, I hadn't really decided yet. I'm going to kind of wait and see, because if he doesn't practice again tomorrow, then I'm going to have to figure something out for my flex spot. Since that's the Sunday night game and Tim already has Damian Williams, I can't go into the Sunday games, you know, with no options. So,
yeah, that's going to hurt you. Cause who's Monday night? I don't even know who the Monday night game is this week.
There might not be a Monday night game this week if it's Christmas Eve.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know if there is a Monday night game this week, to be honest.
Well, you've got Gus Edwards on your bench, but Jamal Williams is also hurt. So you'd probably have to move him in and then put like Fitzgerald in your flex or Hogan. But Buffalo's defense is good.
I think Jamal Williams is just like one of those, it's late in the season, questionable tags. I think he's planning on playing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so. He is limited. Says, well, hey, I'm hoping. I'm rooting for you just because Tim. But I think it's going to be a good matchup.
Monday night is the Broncos at the Raiders. So
we do have a Monday night game. Great.
Yeah, real bond.
Well, Lindsay's already gone, so yeah.
I'm going to make a proclamation here. If the Browns defense gets 20-plus points and carries me to a victory, I may be jumping aboard the bandwagon.
Hey. Plenty of room. Plenty of room on it.
I've got a hat and a jersey waiting for you. I'll bring you to lunch. So 20 points. You need 20 out of the defense?
Listen, if they go for 20-plus points and win, I will wear the hat and the jersey during lunch. Oh.
This just got so saucy. So quick. Come on, Cleveland. Don't fail me, baby. Don't fail me. Well, that would be a wonderful lunch. I'm in. I love it. Hey, I guess I'll shoot you a text whenever we're planning for after the new year. Is that correct?
Yeah. I've got family here this week. So, I mean, we just got to, or like through, you know, a couple days after Christmas. So let's just aim for after the new year.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I can tell you, I don't plan on joining that bandwagon. I am
a
total hater. The more they're, I admit my biases. The more their trajectory is going up, the more my hatred is going up parallel to it. But I will hop on the Browns defensive bandwagon this week, hoping Doug gets that back to back. It's not because I don't love you, Tim, but you burned me this past week, so I'm anti, and I'm also just anti Gatta in general when it comes to fantasy football. So I'm riding with Doug, no doubt about it. So I think I'm riding
now,
with you guys.
Hold on. Okay. I'm going to interrupt you for purpose here. I want to make it a point to our listeners to know when the Browns were terrible, you spent large amounts of time like having empathy for me, rooting for me, wanting them to be good. So it's just the fact that now they're moving up. Does that have anything to do with the fact that people are calling them the new America's team and you're a Cowboys fan?
No, it's actually not. So as much as I enjoy sports, I'm emotionally separated from teams and things like that. So with Dallas or with Carolina, you know, it doesn't really matter. That's not really the problem. The problem is how can I put it nicely? Some of the fans out there sounding like jagoffs on the internet and things like that, acting like the Browns are the new Patriots and like they've just locked in and now it's the new the Patriots dynasty 2.0 and things like that. That's where it's just starting to rub me the wrong way. And I'm just already, it's 2018. There's just so much noise out there. This Browns noise is just complicated everything else. So that's where I am right now.
It's not arrogance. It's called 20 years of pain. That's what it is.
And here's the other thing. When you have to listen to a 25-minute presentation on why the Browns are going to win 8 games.
7.
Well, your presentation was 8, by the way.
That's good. Well, we're still going to get 8. That's fine.
And so you start way behind the 8-ball, and when I say you, I mean me, starts way behind the 8-ball thinking, oh, gosh, I'm just going to have to eat a bunch of crow if it actually happens. Because we were sitting in the back of – so just full disclosure or, you know, full context here. Big group in a room for draft in my league and another league. And Sean gets up between the two drafts and gives this full presentation on why the Browns are going to do great and win 8 games. Meanwhile, we're in the back rolling our eyes and texting each other phallic images to each other, just being the bad kids in the classroom. Mm-hmm. And now we're like, oh, God, we're going to have to, like, cancel Dudes Day next year because there won't be any living with Sean.
Because I was told by Will that I will get a formal apology in front
and
of the entire
I can promise
group,
you, Will,
which just, I know he's good for.
Just like Doug, Will is a man of his word. So he is. Anyway, so we'll wrap up, and we can even talk a little bit of Browns with our boy when he hits us up for our Browns discussion. I wanted to wrap this one up before we drop off for this week's episode. And I'm putting you guys on the spot because we didn't plan on this beforehand. For those out there listening who are in a championship league or just in general, if you were going into a championship game, and Sean, I'll talk about you and then I can chime in afterward. Who are the one or two players you would wish to have on your fantasy team this week to carry you to the championship game?
Meaning like outside of those guys who are obvious top picks, or are you talking about like kind of
either or? I mean, if you know of any sleepers or anything like that. I mean, mine for all season really, and I mean it just kicked me right in the pants when he drafted him is Patrick Mahomes. I mean, Patrick Mahomes was so close to being drafted by me in two different leagues, this one included. He's the one that I wish I had on my team all season. And even though they're playing Seattle, I still wish I had him on my team this week.
Yeah, I'll say a guy that I wish, and this is going to take a lot out of me here, but a guy that I wish I had on my team, Juju Smith-Schuster. He just came through in games where the Sunday night and Monday night games when you needed 10 points to win, and he always ended up with 15. And it seems like he only scores touchdowns when it's 65-plus yards, you know. So I think Juju is probably the guy that I would have wanted to have. Now, if you're talking about kind of a hidden dude, somebody who you could probably pick up in most leagues to get you over the hump, I think to be a homer, David Njoku is going to have a big game this week at tight end for the Browns. Might be somebody worth picking up. They've got no one to cover, and Vontaze Burfict is playing scared because he's finally gotten fined enough to where he cares.
Oh, wow. Well, it only took how long for him to start caring?
3 years.
That's hilarious. Well, that's all we got. Doug, you got anybody to add to that? I mean, you've got a championship roster, so I don't know if there's much for you to say.
Yeah, so for me, Juju, like, pretty severely injured his groin in practice today, so you probably don't want him.
I didn't know that.
On your squad. Yeah, he got hurt today. And then
good news
for me, my guy is Amari Cooper riding the Cowboys bandwagon this week. If I'm going into championship week and I got Dak and Zeke and Amari, I'm just loving life.
Now, listen, yes, in the effort of being the heel of the league, which I know I've come across as, I'm going to go back through all these weeks in the offseason. I'm going to pull these guys who I said were going to be important, like Lamar Miller, like Amari Cooper, and I'm going to start the next draft off with all the things Sean said.
To be fair, you were saying that about Amari Cooper on the Raiders, and if he were still playing for the Raiders, it would still be Sean, you were wrong about Amari Cooper. It's the fact that he.
I said he has all the talent. He's a number one guy, and he's worth. I said he's worth the number one draft.
Did you see him getting traded to the Cowboys?
I saw him getting traded, but not to the Cowboys. Really? That was a surprise.
Okay.
Khalil Mack was the first, like, whoa. And then, yeah, I mean, as soon as the Amari Cooper smoke started, I was pretty sure there was a fire behind it.
Okay. I'll back off then. I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry to get a little heated, but if you thought Amari was going to be incredible on the Raiders, I could have given you a couple years history to show you that no, he was not going to be incredible on the Raiders.
No, I said he was totally worth a first round pick when he got traded. So
him 100% worth
him
it
and Lamar Miller.
Yeah. No doubt about it. Well, guys, any other thoughts you have for our fantasy hopefuls out there, whether they're playing for first place or third place, or maybe even if you're playing for DFL out there?
Don't lose. And go Doug. And our timer is, what, like 50 minutes right now, minus Tim and all of his stats?
Something like that.
That's all right.
Have a Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yep. And obviously, December 23rd, Sunday, you'll be out. You'll be trying to wrap stuff up, hanging out with your family and things like that. But Sunday at 1:00, Browns, you got to get your Twitter notifications set up for Sean and Doug. Hopefully, we'll get some banter going this week. I'll tell you, all the banter really happened on the group text this week. With yours truly driving around Charleston, sending a lot of hateful texts, and I might just do it again. I was feeling real spicy on Saturday night, so I might just do it again.
See, people
I just
don't know, man. People don't know, Zeke. You are the actual heel of our league. That's the honest God truth. You are the heel of our league. I've been painted unfairly by my brother, but you are the heel of our league.
Oh, I'm looking where I can just poke the bear, just see who I can get riled up, no doubt about it. But anyway, we appreciate you guys checking us out. Of course, subscribe, like. To quote Bomani Jones, give us 5 stars. You give us 4 stars, we're inclined to think that you are a hater. Follow us on Twitter. Of course, get on those notifications for Sean and Doug. Good luck to everybody in your fantasy championships, except for Tim. Hope you lose, and we will see you back here next week. Peace.
Hey, at TLOOG1.
That's right.
And shout out to Paul Brown, UK.
Yeah, and whoever TLOOG is, your Twitter sucks. One is the best.
We
see
hate
you guys.
You.
That's right. We hate you. See you next week.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.